big sky, big potential. In association with Mills and Reeve, this is Eastern Promise. Achieving more together. Welcome to episode 94 of the Eastern Promise podcast, and you join me for the climax of building the Norwich Food Science Supercluster, our landmark summit at the Quadrum Institute on Norwich Research Park. I'm Mike Rigby, and this week we bring you the final panel of the event, where national, nay, global experts on food, government, agriculture and research give us their take on the event, which we've been sharing with you across our four previous episodes. As if that wasn't enough, you can also find in your podcast feed the whole event, all five panels back to back, from good morning to goodbye. And finally, we'll reveal the secret identities of your unsung heroes across our region as we shine the spotlight on another superb and star-spangled crowd sorcery. This is the moment we've been building towards. You've been enjoying the coverage of the recent Eastern Promise event, Building the Norwich Food Science Supercluster. We've finally arrived at the fifth and final panel. A look back at the preceding four, and a look ahead to how the Norwich Food Science Supercluster can accelerate its rise as the UK's preeminent location for food-related skills, investment, research and innovation. With us to answer that question are four very special guests. Dr. Riaz Banu, Director of the Global Food Security Programme at UK Research and Innovation. Dr. Stella Peace, Director of Healthy Living and Agriculture at Innovate UK. Daniel Zeichner MP, Shadow Food and Farming Minister and MP for the City of Cambridge. And Director of the Quadrum Institute, Professor Ian Charles OBE. Let's take a listen now.
Right, well, this is the one that really excites me. I'm going to ask Riaz to go first, actually. From what you've seen today, what are the opportunities for Norwich Research Park and the institutions here to tackle major global food security challenges through a systems approach, which I know is key to your remit?
Thanks very much. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Riaz Banu. I'm Director of the Global Food Security Programme based at UK Research and Innovation, and we bring together funders primarily to coordinate and collaborate on food security research challenges. So I thought I'd say a bit about the food system first, perhaps a bit about UKRI strategy, and then say what I think is the opportunity. So firstly, what is the food system? And I was pleased to hear the discussion in the previous session around supply chains. For me, the food system kind of goes beyond supply chains. So it represents all the activities, outcomes, and actors involved in the production, processing, retailing, and consumption of food. And we frame issues in that way because the food system is so highly interconnected, it avoids unintended consequences from interventions in one part adversely affecting another. So, for example, simply growing more vegetables for health that then nobody wants to eat, they end up going to waste, as an example. So it helps to break down silos, encourages interdisciplinarity and holistic solutions, and it allows for collective action, which is something that my programme is really keen on, getting everyone on the same page, and in particular getting collective action from government, business and civil society. So that's the food system and how I'd frame it. And clearly there's lots of evidence that comes from research that underpins that systems approach. So on to developments in UKRI relating to food. So we've just conducted what we called a deep dive. So we looked at all of the investment that we have across UKRI, across the councils in food, to see what that investment is, whether it's being coordinated and delivered effectively. And just to give you an idea of scale, so about just over £1.3 billion was spent on food security research between 2016 and 2021. So quite a lot of money going into there. So the deep dive found that there's a really a clear opportunity for further join up of our investments. And crucially, to develop a joint strategy on food. So my programme, Food Security Programme, will evolve to take that forward and develop this UKRI vision for food, working with lots of key stakeholders around that as well. And Guy Poppy, who I know was on the visit here last time, will be the UKRI food champion and reporting to the UKRI executive on progress. So visibility at the highest levels, which is really positive. But the reason I mentioned the food system is because I think at the heart of this UKRI strategy will be a food systems approach. And there are three interlinked challenges, I think, that will feature in that. A lot of those we've heard about today, in terms of health, health of people, health of animals, health of plants, sustainability, in particular environmental sustainability, and resilience, not just individual risks, but cascading risks. So, for example, how does climate change interact with plant disease, as an example? UKRI's strategy currently has five strategic themes, and food actually features in all of those, which I'm quite pleased about. And myself and colleagues have developed various funding programmes and calls, one of them's out now on resilience, focus on those areas. And I guess for me, these interdisciplinary research programmes at large scales are going to continue into the future. So there's an opportunity really for collaboration, I would say, across disciplines and across sectors. And we have an example of a programme at the moment which took that approach, the Transforming UK Food Systems Programme. And, you know, that was all about bringing together different disciplines, bringing together government, business, civil society, co-designing research, co-delivering it. And interestingly, actually, with that programme, it was about how do we transform the UK food system at national level. That was in my mind when I was writing the business case. And it was interesting that all of the proposals, certainly the large ones, focused on regional approaches to food security. I think it's an interesting question about whether there's a regional approach that could be taken here in the east of England on food security. So different areas of the UK obviously will have different strengths. And here at NRP, I think, Norwich Research Park, there are strengths in a variety of disciplines, not just plant microbial sciences. We've heard about genomics, environmental sciences, food science, gut microbiome, food safety, to name a few. And they're all key areas across the food system. And I think if we're looking at developing a powerful narrative, because I think that's an important take home for me from today, the power of narrative, I think the power of the food system and where your research fits within that, I think is an important framing that could be taken forward in future. So I think the opportunity, just to summarise, so I've taken a bit longer than I was meant to, is just, I think, working together. We've heard lots about collaboration today, thinking about the wider food system and where where you can work collectively to tackle some of those challenges. Crucially, I think, with this, you know, as we develop this UKRI food strategy, which we hope will then feed into future spending reviews, I think organising yourselves to be in the best position to be bidding into those programmes is key.
Thank you very much. Incredibly useful. Stella, you lead for Innovate UK on healthy living and agriculture. You could not be in a better place, quite frankly. Could you share your views on how we can connect and translate research across what we do here for maximum impact in the work you do?
Yeah, very happy to. And I'm very pleased to be here today. So I'll say a little bit about Innovate, first of all, so that those people that don't know us, hopefully I'll do a bit of a plug and you'll know us and we can work together. So my name is Stella Peace. And as you've said, I lead healthy living and agriculture. So I like to keep it simple. I say that's about healthy people, healthy planet. And at Innovate, what are we? We're the UK's innovation agency. So our role and our ambition is to inspire, to involve and to invest, to really stimulate innovations so that ultimately we're driving growth, productivity and all those great things for the UK. And we do that through a variety of means. And I'm very pleased that actually they've been mentioned on a few of the panels already. So I think we heard a shout out for our knowledge transfer partnership. So that's about how we make sure knowledge moves from those centres of excellence, those research hubs into business and really translates and applies. We also run competitions, and I'll come back to that again. I think James earlier mentioned one of our competitions. But we like to think of ourselves as doing really wraparound support. So we also have a team called Business Growth who will work with new businesses to help them on their journey. And we also, importantly, have an investor partnership arm. And that's all about bringing investors in as we sort of phase out public money, which we bring, we can actually bring private equity in and other investors in to keep that journey of growth. So honestly, it's the best job in the world, isn't it? It's fantastic. I get to see all these innovations coming through and see them grow. So as you say, I couldn't be in a better place in terms of the strength of the research and capability here. And I'm very heartened by what I see and what I hear in terms of how we're now translating that. And I think we just need to keep that push on that translation and driving that for outcomes and for growth. One of the elements that we did actually very much in partnership with the Eastern Region was to develop the launchpad idea, and we've heard about that, and that was great, James, that you spoke about that. I'd just share with you a couple of other stats from that, and they leave me really optimistic. So yes, when we created that launchpad, there was 2 million for that first competition, and actually the applications we had came to well over 8 million. So that tells me that this is alive and well and thriving, which is brilliant. So that is great. And we know it wasn't just that there's a huge number. I can also reveal the quality was really strong as well. So that's a great thing. So I come here, you know, knowing the importance of this area, this region, and saying it actually feels alive and well, and let's really keep that going. And I also leave with great optimism that we will continue to build on some of that. And my final plea to you as I hand the mic over would be that, please, you know, it is all about collaboration. It's all about partnership. Our role at Innovate is to help you, to help those businesses grow. So please stop me, send me an email, connect with us. I think we've all got the same agenda. So great to be here, and I leave with great optimism.
That's exactly what we're going for. Optimism and potential, the key words of Eastern Promise. We explore the full potential of the East of England. On that note, Daniel, welcome back to South Norfolk, I should say. History as a councillor here, but just introduce yourself and what you do. And really, I'm really interested in your reflections about what you've heard and how you can see this park, this section of Norwich continuing to develop and deliver under whatever may come, if I can be as delicate as that.
That's a big question. I'll try and do it in 2 minutes. Okay, look, first of all, very pleased to be back here. Some of you will know I started my political life here. I'm the Shadow Food Minister, but in Parliament, I spend a lot of time on universities, on data, and on the East. So it's a kind of perfect combination for me to be here today. I'd like to start just by reflecting on George's comments. I'm not sure I'm allowed to say this, but George is probably my favourite Conservative minister. Some may say it's not a high bar. That's a bit unkind. But I love George's enthusiasm, and I think it's a great pity, actually, he stepped down from the role that he had. But I think the reason partly he did that was a sense of frustration, and probably like many of you, I'm reading Rory Stewart's book at the moment, and I feel that same sense of frustration. So my frustration is I've never been in government, and I want to be in government. But I can already feel the challenges. And I suppose, and this is perhaps not entirely living up to your point about being optimistic, I think there's also a danger that we don't understand here that the global challenge and race that we are in. I've always said in Cambridge that, because Cambridge has got its fantastic reputation, and I would say, don't try and replicate Cambridge, do what you're good at. And I think that's really important, because you can't replicate it. It's something special and unique, and we struggle to know how you grow it without losing that. Not sure Michael Gove's contribution is always helpful, but it's part of a debate about how you do that. But my concern has always been this assumption that future success is assured. It really isn't, unless you make the right decisions. And I pay tribute to a number of people over the last 20, 30 years in Cambridge, and Jane is to some extent, a beneficiary of that amazing foresight when people began to actually build on the success of the university to build Cambridge Science Park and then do it again with the biomedical campus. But we are competing in a global race. And I just go back to George's challenge, really. I look at the food system, and it is a system, absolutely. And I look at Henry Dimbleby's work and others. And, you know, his analysis was fantastically efficient, just a couple of minor problems. It's making us ill, and it's destroying the planet, which is a pretty big downside. And what I want to hear, and I've heard so many different people this morning, and to some extent, I think a lot of people in the same space, and I think that's one of the messages, it's we could try and bring it together, is how do we actually focus in on those key, absolutely key challenges about how we feed a growing population without doing further damage to the climate, how we build nature recovery. And I think the key thing for you, and the thing which I'm really excited about when you're so close to a major hospital, is to deal with the obesity challenge, because that is absolutely massive. So, I mean, I could talk for ages, and I know you don't want me to, but that is what I want to see out of this, is to how we absolutely focus in on that. Because if there's one thing I would say to you, and I went, not party politics this morning, It is a change of government, and actually I think we do need a new government, because I think whatever happens at the election, I think there will be a new chance for whoever wins, because we've got to get out of this current kind of doom-gloom loop we're in at the moment. If it's a Labour government, it will be mission-oriented, absolutely clear. And my advice to you is make sure you fit what you're trying to do, in particularly into the health mission, because that is the way you'll get support from an incoming Labour government. And that's my part of my task, to make sure that the food issues I'm identifying absolutely get that priority in that kind of way.
I couldn't agree more. And I think we run a great risk if we try and talk to the government and don't make those connections with what they're trying to do, whoever is trying to do. We need to sort of fit what we're doing absolutely to that narrative and to that mission. And I'm sure it'll be a mission we can all share. Our host today, Professor Charles, could you reflect on what you've heard in your institution and tie that in? I mean, when I've been on a tour here, many of the things that Daniel's raised, Andrew, who's at the back there, has told me all about it.
Well, delighted to have you here, and what a fantastic morning to have this discussion. I've been reflecting enormously on what's been said, and a lot of it echoes with my own sentiments and the direction of travel on a journey with the Institute. Two things I want to reflect on mainly are change and communities and communication. These seem to be things that have been picked up, and I'll explain what I mean by that. So change. When I worked in industry, we used to have a saying, a mantra, change is good, and we embrace change. We absolutely embrace change. But it's the rate of change now in the current society that is enormous. And I reflect in part what you were saying about health, obesity, diabetes, cardiovascular disease. This was highlighted with what happened in COVID, and we all must reflect on that because it really put the UK in a bad spot, I think, in terms of its health. And how do we impact that? Well, we look at better solutions through the food we eat. So there's a central play now back to the very food and how that impacts health. But change is more broad than that. We're living in an age now where, and we haven't really gone into this because it's not been appropriate, but AI, artificial intelligence, is going to be a big part of what we're all doing, not only in terms of the research. I think Nick touched on it in terms of what we're doing with the new data center here, but it's much, much larger than that. It's going to impact on everything. And so we need to understand how we do that. So change. Part of that change is to reflect on critical mass. And we've talked, and you've said, don't stand on our laurels here. You know, there's no need for complacency. I agree completely. We need to look at critical mass. The first time I went to the Shenzhen Development Zone in China, whoa, I was blown away. 3,000 bioinformatics practitioners under one roof doing stuff at the BGI, that's the Beijing Genome Institute. We can't approach numbers like that. That's an enormous part of what they do. Wow, you know? And when I look at Silicon Valley, wow, these are large organizations. So one of my themes has always been, and I think George echoed this, you've echoed this, is this communication between, and what I say is a valley between connecting us with Cambridge, this food health valley. And I think imitation is I'm going to misquote Oscar Wilde now. I'm feeling more lyrical. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Let's understand how these other organizations have grown to get and deliver on that critical mass. Reflecting on communities and communication in an era of change. So again, I'm going to misquote Churchill, because I'm reflecting on what you said about the A47, and I think I laughed at your somewhat cynical comment, but hey-ho, there you go. Democracy is the worst form of government except for all the others. So we have to respect within our legal framework and our guidance, the direction of travel of what we're doing and the research we're doing. And I think all of this has to be stirred into the big pot that we've got currently here, and the excitement I feel here of being part of the Norwich Research Park. But I want to take it further, and I want to get all that communication and connectivity about the way we're talking with society, the way we're talking with government, the way we're talking with industry, the way we're talking with the very nature of what we're doing. And I'll stop there, because that's probably enough.
I think whenever I get to talk about the science that goes on here, and goes on in the region, because, you know, I do go and share what happens in other parts of the region on their terms as well as here, but I'm so proud to talk about what happens here, because you really get a sense that, and you're absolutely right, we don't need to sort of be shy about it, because I think there are so many opportunities for collaborations with Cambridge. And in my mind, it's always like a rope. We start with a couple, and pretty soon we've spun into something really strong and enduring. I think what's important is that we kind of, and it isn't, I don't think it is a job for me necessarily, but I'm interested in the sort of the small p politics involved in building those networks of collaboration that, and I've said this before, respect individual institutions and their direction of travel, but still can provide to people like Daniel and George and Jerome that overarching vision where everyone's aligned, all the partners are on board. Do you think it takes, I think Estella, then Riaz, and then Daniel, a special kind of political sure-footedness to get those alignments, or is it just something we have to not get on with it and grasp the nettle and do it?
I feel it's actually strong here, I have to say. I've visited a number of times, and my sense is there is and I think really what helps for collaboration is that shared agenda, isn't it? And knowing the different roles that different individuals bring to it. So you're not duplicating, but there's that sort of interdependence. So for me, yes, it needs effort. Yes, it needs time. But, you know, if you're anything like me, the moment you have those conversations, those interactions, and I think we were saying, you know, you have 10 and maybe 4 or 5 don't go anywhere, but they always give you energy. You always feel back, you know. So I think if we continue to be driven by curiosity, driven by connection, and just that shared agenda, I think we're in a healthy place. Right. We can't be complacent, but I my sense is when I come here that there is that real strong agenda and connection and strategic vision. So I would say, you know, keep going.
Keep it going then.
I firmly agree with that. And I'd also add, I think there's just simply a need to collaborate. I think no individual organisation will be able to solve some of these huge challenges that we've got, particularly around food security and the other sectors that we've heard of today. So I think there's a definite need for it. And, you know, it's building on what strengths you have here and doing something bigger and better by working together. I'd also flag this need for a narrative, you know, telling the story of what you do here, I think is really important, and bringing, you know, as we heard, young people, the public, investors with you, being clear about what the strengths are here, why they should be investing. I think that coherent and kind of inspirational narrative has to be jointly developed. I think that's perhaps the first starting point for more collaborative working.
So Ian and Daniel, I'll start with Ian. How do we move on that then? How would you like us to see move forward on that?
Well, that's the $1 billion question, isn't it, really? How do we move forward on that? So you can do it top down and bottom up. So we form networks and we form those communities where we do get interaction with government, local government, regional government, or all flavours of government. We get those interactions with our scientists. We get those, and that's national, international, across the planet. So we are talking, we do all of that. So that's from the bottom up. Top down, you need incentivizations, and they need to be at a level that is appreciated and pitched at the connectivity you want to establish. And there needs to be a legal framework in which that operates that everyone understands. And there needs to be an ethical framework that people understand. So, but we need support for that. I'm not going to an island model where money can flow in surreptitious ways into starting up company spin-outs or whatever. But there are other ways you can incentivize developments from top down. And I'll hand over to you, perhaps.
Perfect segue. Look, I'm trying to be slightly more critical. I think the last decade or so, there's been a failure of leadership. I think the fact that the regional structures were just torn away with nothing in its place, I think it's left people like yourselves having to build these partnerships. And it's absolutely right you've done so, and it's absolutely right you collaborate. But in the end, I think there can be, it needs both. And I think the problem is there hasn't been a clear enough definition. I think essentially it's what Tristram was essentially saying a while ago. And I suppose my offer is, my hope is that whatever happens in future, and I think we're seeing this actually across politics in general, is there's an understanding that the kind of bid-based culture on which so much time is spent and wasted, frankly, across every sector has got to change. And also the planning system's got to change. Of course we have a planning system for a good reason. It's what makes for a good society. But it's become ridiculous. That's got to change as well. So the optimistic note is, I think whatever happens is changing. Obviously, I would say I'm going to change it better than the other guy. But I hope that for your purposes, there can be some confidence that we're going forward. And the good thing is, despite all this mess, actually, look at what you've achieved here. I remember when I was here 20 years ago as a councillor, sitting looking at the planning application for the hospital, these were green fields, and now it's transformed. So well done.
I think that's a perfect note to end it on, everyone. Well done. And I just want to say thank you all for coming. It's been wonderful to see you all here. And I really hope you've got something out of it and felt empowered and excited about the potential that's going on. It excites me, and Eastern Promise will carry on being a full-throated advocate. But really now, take the advice, take what you've heard, and really continue driving forward. I'm really excited to see where it all goes. Thank you to everyone for coming. Thank you to Andrew and the Quadrum Institute for hosting us so wonderfully. Thank you to Team Eastern Promise. Thank you to Mills and Reeve and Bidwells. Mills and Reeve, Deborah at the back there, who's been such a great help in everything. And Mark.
I'm going to Gatecrash, because I think actually you need thanking. Yeah?
No.
Debt of gratitude to people like you, and frankly, get off your backside and make things happen. Well done.
Thank you very much. I do get slightly tired of hearing, we don't shout about ourselves enough. Because, well, that's what I decided to do, and shout a bit about the fantastic things that go on here. It's so inspiring, it's so fantastic. Keep going, please, and thank you for coming. Goodbye.
My thanks to Stella, Riaz, Daniel and Ian. Whilst we're in thanking mode, I want to pay tribute to several people for their help in getting this event off the ground. My team at Eastern Promise, Sally Osborne and the wise and munificent Engineer 49, by whose mighty hand you are able to listen to the event. To Deborah Dawson, Matt Skipper and Gemma Hoskins of our very good friends at Mills and Reeve. To Tom Fenwick, Fiona Whiting, Saskia Harvey, Penny Hundleby, Eva Gordon-Sharp, Hayley Mace, Shelley McDermott, Anna-Marie Gibson and Beaver Oliver. Most of all, I want to say a huge thank you to Andrew Stronach, Head of Public Affairs at the Quadrum Institute, whose calm and wise presence was nothing short of fundamental to the event's success. Thank you all. And the work of building the Norwich Food Science Supercluster won't be stopping with this event. Dear me, no! The Royal Norfolk Agricultural Association is putting forward ambitious plans for a food hall and market garden at the Norfolk Showground just outside Norwich. It's been described as a super farm shop, but it will be much more than that. The development has been proposed as a showcase for Norfolk's food and drink producers, encouraging visitors to connect with food, farming and the countryside, the three key missions of the Royal Norfolk Agricultural Association. I absolutely salute Mark Nicholas and his team at the RNAA for putting this development squarely on the map, and it will be a wonderful focal point for not just scientists at the nearby Norwich Research Park to come and meet with producers, but vice versa, and form those partnerships that are going to be so fundamental to Norwich's success as a food science supercluster. And now, Not all superheroes wear capes. And thankfully, fewer still wear their underpants atop their trousers. But without these signature fashion choices, how are we to recognise heroes in our midst and sing their praises in song? Let's leap a tall building in a single bound for another
crowd sorcery.
Well, you certainly took to this week's topic. Clearly, you all have a lot of people you want to salute, and rightly so. Let's start with Tarquin Bennett Coles, senior partner at SCI Partners, advisor for Little Bean Journey, pro bono mentor for the Homerton Changemakers, and career in healthcare supporter for the MBA and EMBA students at the Judge Institute. Tarquin writes, Dr. Soraya Jones, Blaine Baker Garwood, and Paula Beckenstein, MCIM. Three people who consistently give time, insight, wisdom, and energy to help others. All changemakers and role models. I haven't yet had the pleasure of meeting Blaine Baker Garwood, though your post has brought that a lot closer, Tarquin. In the first of several responses to your praise, Blaine Baker Garwood herself says, Tarquin, wow, I'm speechless. Your words have meant so much to me, so thank you for making my entire day in thinking of me. This truly means a lot, and I'm touched beyond words that you think so highly of me. You are absolutely my role model as a change maker for good. The world is a better place because you're in it. Blaine, this is indeed true. Every week, Tarquin's contribution means so much to this podcast, and he's definitely my hero. Paula Beckenstein too, thanks you, Tarquin, for your kind words. And on Paula Beckenstein and Dr. Soraya Jones, folks, I can only agree wholeheartedly with Tarquin. Spending any time with either is truly nourishing for the soul. Meanwhile, let's welcome Giga Connector, nay, the Connector's Connector, Dave Graham, who asks me the following question. Don't know how much your sorcerer's wand has touched over the University of Essex, Mike, but I'll give you a couple of stars from my time there, both doing amazing things in their fields, Anna Sturrock and Tracy Lawson. Thank you, Dave. In fact, my sorcerer's wand has spent a fleeting hour or two at the University of Essex, at the Innovation Centre Knowledge Gateway, with Georgina Watts and Neil Griffin, and Elvis. Though I'd be the first to admit it's not enough. I've recently even dipped the old wand down in Hertfordshire. Stop it. So the range continues to extend. Thank you for that, Dave. Richard Powell, OBE, Environmental Charity Advisor and Independent Chair, is facing a dilemma many of us may have faced in responding to this crowd sorcery.
Crowd sorcery.
Thank you. Richard writes, too many to mention, but I would shout out Keith Moore of the Environment Agency. He works so hard to join up agendas, or people for that matter, that don't want to be joined up. He is across so many sectors and so knowledgeable, he deserves a special mention. As does Rebecca White of Your Own Place. About to stand down as CEO, but what a legacy she has achieved. What an impact on young people. She is an absolute star. And they would be two unsung heroes to me. That wholly justified praise from Richard Powell prompted a heartfelt and welcome response from Rebecca White, preventing homelessness as CEO of Your Own Place, CIC. Thank you, Richard. You have been a true friend of our mission to support people of all ages that through no fault of their own find themselves in worse situations than many of us. The people who continue to be so kind and voiceless in the face of so much adversity are my heroes, says Rebecca, and always will be. Amen to that. And now, let's turn to the members of our special WhatsApp crowd sorcery collective known as
the Crowd Sorcerers Supreme!
First, here's Adam Peede, talent and business development strategist, who says, love this, Mike. I would like to mention Laura Grimwood and Ursula A. I'm afraid LinkedIn won't give me a clue as to what the A stands for, but Ursula A it is, who are doing phenomenal work in enabling ideas and companies to have a chance at succeeding. And lastly, let's hear from Dr. Penny Hundleby, senior scientist at the John Innes Centre. What a lovely post, Mike. Great to see those NRP names on your list. I fully agree they are all awesome people, generous with their time and knowledge. I'll perhaps dip outside of my immediate research group, with the exception perhaps of Azka Nareen, a fantastic postdoc who recently left my team and heads soon for Cambridge University. To the other people who make coming into work each day such a joy. Those who share their time and knowledge, who have a for the good of the science, no ego attitude. People like Jonathan Clark, Eva Sharp, Rachel Wells, Claire Stevenson, Monica Chetri, Felicity Perry, and many more. As they say, it takes a village. That it does. And that they do, Penny. And that's your lot for episode 94 of the Eastern Promise podcast. I've been Mike Rigby, and for the past 5 weeks, you've been listening to the 5 panels, 4 mini-movies, and 4 speeches that made up the Eastern Promise event, Building the Norwich Food Science Supercluster. The whole event will soon be available to download from the Eastern Promise podcast feed, so you can choose to listen to a particular panel of interest from the previous 4 episodes, or take in the whole event from start to finish. Every minute replete with reminders why Norwich is an amazing crucible for food-related research, development and commerce. Whether that's soil and seed, gastronomy and gut, or even, dare I say, fertiliser and faeces.
Weird.
It also serves as a reminder that, in the opinion of this podcaster, the scientific research that goes on across the east of England is at least, the equal of anywhere in this country, in Europe, nay, the world. It's a deep and humbling privilege that I'm able to experience it firsthand and share it with you. Next week, our regular programming will resume with Rachel Hales of Get Synergized. Rachel is a firecracker, fizzing with ideas and drive, using her bespoke platform to bring businesses and non-profit organisations together. We'll be hearing from Rachel, Dr. Hannah Chapman of the Cambridge Acorn Project, and Nick Finlayson-Brown, who leads the Cambridge office of Mills & Reeve, proud partners of both Get Synergized and this very podcast. It only remains for me to thank everyone who attended our recent event at the Quadrum Institute and everyone who took part in a panel or one of the 4 movies we showed at the event. Thank you too to the King of the Cable, the Pharaoh of the Fader, Engineer 49. And finally, thank you to you for listening. I'm incredibly grateful to have your company and incredibly humbled as well. We shall be reunited in but 7 short days. So until then, bye for now. To hear other episodes of the Eastern Promise podcast and to find out more about what we do, go to our website at easternpromise.org.uk. Eastern Promise is a Prior's Croft production in association with Mills & Reeve, achieving more together.